that I kind of just wanted to ask a question about?
Sure, sure.
Okay. It says, that is what happens when the double sense of the word once works its magic. If the future is the past, everything was played out long ago and need only be played out again in a clear-cut present. I was just wondering what your thoughts would be on that.
So, can you please read it again? Because I'm thinking in terms of colors, but I will explain that, yes?
Okay.
Can you just do it again? Uh-huh. Read it, not do it, but read it.
Okay. That is what happens when the double sense of the word once works its magic. If the future is the past, everything was played out long ago and need only be played out again in a clear-cut present.
Yes, this is basically it. This is the matrix. This is the definition of matrix, the matrix. The movie is already in the can. Yes, everything already had happened. And what happens to us, the daily present or the every moment, we're just living it shot by shot, moment by moment. Just let's leave the, how do you say, the quote in the book, which is quite complex because this is mathematics, and we shall try to explain it from different perspective or different ways.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So let's look at it. When someone buys a ticket and he wants to go to see a movie in the cinema, he heard about it, he read about it. Now, he was intrigued to see the movie. He would like to see the movie. So he buys a ticket and sits in his seat and wait until darkness and the veils are open. And the movie starts. So the one who is watching the movie now at the cinema is sitting and watching the movie frame by frame, moment by moment. So far, this is clear.
Yes.
But, and here's the big but the movie was shot, let's say, half a year ago. All the actors, directors, cast directors, how they call it, makeup people, cameras men, musicians already produced the movie. The movie is set. It is already distributed. But the one who's watching it now in his seat is watching the movie frame by frame. We are not any different. It is easy for us to see now the man or the couple who bought a ticket, yes, or two tickets, and sitting in their seats and watching it frame by frame. For us, it's understood. We also experience that. This is how also we watch the movie, whether we buy the ticket or not. We watch it. The only way to experience is to watch it frame by frame, moment by moment. But the movie is already produced. It's already been shot from the beginning to end. We don't tend to think like this. We don't. But this is how it is.
So for us, it would be more like just, you know, just sit back and rest and watch.
Watch the show.
Yeah.
Watch, watch the show. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, enjoy the show. That's good.
There is a beautiful thing I heard in an interview with an American actor. He's a senior, and he says that when he was asked, what does he do when he receives a script, any script, and he's already casted to play one of the figures in the movie, he says he takes the script, and when he rehearses or reads it, he reads only the lines or the words that are made for this character that he's supposed to act. This is how he related. It doesn't matter how long is the script, how many people are there, actors, I mean, different figures are playing, which period of history, future, past, if it's a horror show, whatever, it doesn't matter. He says he just look at the words that his character is supposed to read. This is how he does it. Now, when they come, all the actors, they come together and they do a mutual reading of all the different characters in the movie, and people start reading their parts. Then, he says, he notices it's not only me. The movie is not about me. And he speaks about a character, not about himself, about a character that he plays. He says, and the story or the script is not about me. There are so many other characters participating. Uh-oh. Yes? You can cut from me how we perceive life. We always think it's about me. But there are so many other components which participate in this movie, not just, let's say, first surrounding as neighborhood or friends or a country without sun and the moon and the systems, the gravity, we could not be here, regardless of delivering parents. This is so narrow. This is so narrow to look at life like that. Now, this is one way to look at it. Another way to look at it, there are many ways to look at this quote. One of them is Weinreb's relation to colors. The present moment is green, yarok. Yarok, if we also play with the letters, it is rek, it means empty. Just the value of yarok in Hebrew is 310. You can look and you can imagine the way the letter Aleph looks. Now, the past, Weinreb says, is gold or yellow. Tzahov in Hebrew. It has the number 27. And the future is blue. It has the value, I think, of 58. If you take the future, 58, plus the past, 97. And you can see how they come, the relations between them. Yes? You take 50. This is quite interesting to look at it. He found this interestingly mathematically happening. 58 plus 97. Double. No, twice this number, this is 310. I did not check it. This is how I remember it, but we can check it. This is the moment, the present moment. This is something that the linear mind or brain cannot perceive or conceive. It doesn't matter how we shall present this idea, it is inconceivable. Therefore, people have difficulties for reading this book, Joseph and his brothers, because it's not just the relations between the brothers selling Joseph and so. He brings Thomas Mann into the book so many different concepts of culture, history, nature, theology. It is amazing.
Yes, I agree. Thank you for giving me your thoughts on that, or giving us your thoughts on that.
When we look at nature, yes, or daily life, there's a sun and the sun appears in the sky, which is blue, but the relation between yellow and green and the current moment is we have yellow and blue, and the current moment is green. The relations between those colors. Also, what happens in art class when you mix yellow and blue. Those are prime colors. What happens? You remember, Cindy, what happens when we mix a drop of yellow color and a drop of blue? Which color do we get? Can you hear? Do you get a single color? Green. Yes. Green. Yes. The present moment. The soul, or the being, or consciousness, is everything that is in all times and spaces. We are trained to think that there is appearance of a body, of a child, of a baby. Yes? And we look at it frame by frame, and we look at this life. It doesn't matter which life of a baby. Is it linearly? He appeared here, and what this baby is supposed to achieve or become in his life. But this is not how it is. This is not how it is. Consciousness is all there is. All of us is one consciousness. Or let's say not two. All of us. So for the consciousness, it doesn't matter. It's funny, yes? If there's appearance or disappearance. Because consciousness holds everything. It's not a concept, which a concept is limited. Yes? Consciousness holds everything. So once there is appearance of a baby, or baby, a child, doesn't matter, this baby will be trained to have a connection to the name, to the language. And part of the consciousness, unlimited, infinite consciousness, will be part of it. Tiny, tiny, tiny part, which is connected to, it's like canopy above the brain. The brain, again, there's a soul. I'm just trying to... The soul, the consciousness, the source, is everything. But when a child is appearing here, a baby, and he's trained to think, to behave, to acquire certain behavior, the brain that he has or she has will identify with their body, with their name, first of all. They say John, and he will turn his head because somebody was calling his name. So there's identification between the name and the body, because name is the essence. Shem Etzem. And essence is a thing. So John will capture himself as a thing, as a sculpture or as a statue. There's a connection between the name John and this body. But only the brain will do it. The trained animal, the mental process which is happening. Only this, only the brain. The soul, which is hovering above all of this, you can say, if it's easy like that, encompasses all time, spaces, events, and so, is not identified or has no identification with John, his body, his family. The soul is impersonal. It doesn't have preferences. Maybe the brain, which is connected, yes, so this body has preferences in taste, in colors. in music, the brain. But the soul is impersonal. It encompasses all possibilities, all times, all scenarios, if you want, all weather, all the happening. So from the soul perspective, it does not matter because there's no conditioning in it. But we train to believe, to behave that we are this name and we are this body, and whatever happens to this name or to this body, this has happened to me. And really, yes, and it's great day if it's happened to me, or if there's some kind of an accident or war or a flood or an earthquake, it happens to me only. But who will give us the sense of me? The brain, the machine which is connected to the body, this motor, yes, I call it motor even. It is connected to the body, and what it will filter to the body is just information about the body, which is limited, finite, appears at some point, disappears in some point, but not the soul. The soul is impersonal. And when people are dying, let's say, and they're already the last breath left, and people who remain after they bring it to burial, or they put a stone to remember. So they say this one appears in such and such date, passed away in such and such day, dear such and such, name such and such. Yes, this is, it's manufactured persona. When, if you used to take walks, we did a lot in Berlin, I don't know why. Who knows? You never know. You used to walk in cemeteries. I don't know why. So you see those beautiful gardens, it's green, there's rain all year long, green stones, names, numbers, appearing, disappearing, and this and that. Those are just like puppets, yes? Appear somewhere, there's appearance, there's a birth, the baby is born, gets a name. Son, daughter, it doesn't matter, it has a name, it has a life, goes to kindergarten, ta-ta-ta-ta. At some point they get married, or they do something, career in university, or whatever happens, and then they leave, and then there's like a memory of these puppets, and you can find it in the, how do you say, in a cemetery. But what passed away? What passed away? What? You can unmute and speak.
Just the body. Just the, yeah, the physical part of it.
Yes. Yes. But impersonal soul that encompasses everything. There is no lack, nothing. Nothing, how do you say? There is no minus on it. There is no minus. This is how we are trained to think. Minus and plus. Appearances of a body of a baby is plus. When somebody leaves, the last breath leaving, yes? Is, so to speak, is minus. And between plus and minus, this is how people are trained to think. Life is happening. But this is very limited. very, very limited. It doesn't matter what is the span of human, 80 years, 85, 90, 120. It's just, it's not even registration of life. It's not. But we make a great deal out of it. Because the soul, which is unlimited and encompasses all life in all moments, in every moment, is not impressed. When there is a birth, this is impersonal, so when there is a birth, it doesn't matter what name we have, we can understand that there is a birth, it doesn't matter to whom does it happen. A baby appears to this couple today, to this neighbor. Everybody can understand there is something impersonal in life which crosses everything or beyond everything. And it's not conditioned in weather, in age, in language, in night or day. It's not. And all the suffering comes from the identification with a name, with a body, with a happening, with the first four, let's say, pictures that we see. Or are being exposed to. There isn't any loss when somebody is leaving, is a great happening. It's because, oh, what a burden to carry this concrete around and to identify with this concrete, with this appearance, which is so limited. And its story, constructed story. Imagine that, just an example. Maybe you can understand there was a series. It's funny because just we can bring experiences from the field, yes? Someone had to play for many, many seasons an alcoholic figure. Many, many seasons. Everything breaks around this figure. Family one, family two, everything, the business, everything. It just drinks and drinks and drinks. At some point when the series ended, the actor, which was playing this figure, the alcoholic, when everything ended, he had to go to a rehab institution because he identified himself with his figures. He was just playing it. By playing it, he believed that this is who he is and he has to go to rehab to take this garment outside of him, to wash this out. So this is just an example, but imagine what a burden we have or we collect around ourselves with those stories about me, my name, my experience, consequences around me. What a burden, what a burden, what a bullshit, what a weight. And all our resources, yes, are participating in this bullshit parade, and we're not just to experience this empty moment. So what? Now there's a leaf falling from the tree. Now it's spring here, and you see every day more and more buds appearing on the bench, on the branches. It's so beautiful. Every day more and more, slowly, the tree is going out from winter sleep. Just look at it. Yes, just there's looking, but there's no looker. How do you say? Watcher. There's looking. You see. You go and you see this walking. There's walking. No walker. There's a Johnny Walker. There's no walker. Just walking. Yes, walking, seeing, no identification. What a sense of freedom this is. Just walking, trees sending its sprouts, green leaves, the mountain is green. Just this, just vibing, da, bird, I'm burning, da, cat. But we already trained, children already come with this. This is my cat, this is my bicycle. Yes, this is how the brain works, attachment. My brain, my cat, my bicycle, this is my room, this is my whatever, my ball. This is my. This is my mother. 2 weeks ago, there was an episode in the coffee shop. Mother and two children. It was again after those missiles when people appearing all over the place, because just to get balance and experience of living again. Mother with two kids, one of them six. One was toddler with his puppet buying coffee. And the toddler says, my mother. But his brother is next to him. Yes, he's six. My mother. Yes. When he's 2 years old. My mother. So when he says, my mother, this is only, so to speak, his mother. But he has a brother too, standing next by. Imagine when they have a few more brothers and sisters. And everybody says, my mother. So they have to share the same object. But mommy is not an object. See how it starts. No one is an object, but we see. We say my brother, my sister, and so my neighbor, object. Yes, objectifying everything, but it's not. And when we start to speak like this, what a heaviness, what a burden. Because imagine that you have to carry on your body, even in your mind, all of those mine. It's just a truck. When people are moving from apartment, house to house, they take a moving company. Just collect, make a list of one day, 24 hours, how the thought is going, my. My bicycle, my book, ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Collect all those what the brain sent you as mine. Oh, as we think as mine. Put them in one truck. In 24 hours, all of those things will never enter one truck. You need a company of 20 trucks to put inside what your brain is shooting as my in the last 24 hours, and they could not contain it. Yes, my neighborhood, my cousin, my bicycle, my library. Yes, in 24 hours, even if you don't go to sleep. Imagine what happens after 1 week, after 1 month, after 1 year. How can you move with this heaviness? How can you breathe even? How can you lift a finger to click on the, how do you say, light switch? How can you? How? My mother, my brother, my sister, my. It's, you know, when people speak like this, they expose this tribalism. We call it tribalism. My everything is mine. If it's not mine, it's the opponent tribe. Let's start a war. Let's take bows and arrows and shoot them. Yes, yes. This is cool. Yes, this is very cool. But a part of it, of being like tribal and you know, infants, It's just joking. Imagine someone walk like this with mine, my idea, my initiation, my neighbor, my dog, my cat, my bicycle, my shoes. I'm exaggerating. My refrigerator, my desk, my. No. And try to breathe. You can't. Just you can't. Quit on life completely. Just go directly to the grave. You know, there it will be at least empty. Without all of this bullshit. What a space. What a stretch for the soul. Delicious. Yes, and people are so sad when somebody's passing away. What a relief it is. Who need this shit? And people tell you, I'm in charge of 5 children, of fields, of businesses. This is my business. I run the business. I run the farm. I'm a CEO. I'm this. I'm director. I'm producer. I'm do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Well, at some point, you know, checking out. Ooh, what a relief. Let them drown in the bullshit. No? We keep so many things in our mind as memories, as really, as an object, and we attach to them if they were like, imagine people in America, they have this Statue of Liberty, yes, and everybody, it's a symbol, yes. And imagine that everybody says, this is my city, I love New York, this I love NY, so I love New York, and imagine people walking in the city, let's say, in the 42nd Street, and they have this Statue of Liberty dragging on the pavement, yes? Just lying there, not vertical, just let that it will not fall and break. Just put it horizontal and fellow American citizen just taking ropes and carrying this, my belovable state, my homeland, I'm carrying it with me wherever I go. How many people have to walk without ropes or without, I don't know what, to carry this Statue of Liberty? This is my home country, my homeland. And in every country you have this, yes, they have Trafalgar Square. In every country they have those beautiful statues. Yes, and you would not do this to yourself. You would not, even if somebody would put the Statue of Liberty on the floor or on the road, you would not take rope and carry it with you. Physically, it's nonsense, yes. But we carry those ideas. He did to me, she did to me. And this is my identity, the football, I don't know, league, or the basketball league, or, I don't know, the victory day of the Allies upon Germany, which is today. This is how it has been celebrated. Yesterday, the Soviet celebrated the winning day upon Germany. Every day, it's another toy. Every day, it's another shenanigans. So it is Statue of Liberty is a gift from France. Yes. Doesn't matter, just you know, when we going walking around with those attachments, this is my homeland, this is the first speech to Abraham, go of those attachments. This is your family, it's your homeland, this is your country. You know, just leave those attachments, yes, Felipe? Abigail, so good to see you here. Yes, Felipe.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, good morning. How do you do?
Good evening, Eddie. Thank you. I'm fine, thanks. Shalom to all your friends. I was just, while you mentioned Moses, Eddie, I was just thinking, because, you know, it's a kind as we have all still these attachments, is mine.
Yes.
You know, we are in Egypt, you know, because in Egypt is comfy, is we have our decent meals, we have, you know, comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go to the unity, we lose all of these comfort lifestyles, because we kind of lose this identification with me and mine. Just and it's a kind of you know, it's kind of arid. It's a bit, we kind of feel, you know, sad, because we are attached to the world. And to go in this trip, or with in this journey to the non-duality, it kind of, one might think that it lacks sense, you know, because we are so attached to the personality and the ego. But I was just thinking that it's really interesting that after leaving Egypt, we have, I mean, the people and ourselves, we have to spend these 40 years in the wilderness.
This is what you tell yourself. This is what you tell yourself. Yes, this is the story that you tell yourself. You just drop it. You keep telling yourself stories about yourself, which none of those existing. You tell yourself you're Felipe, you're born here, put you in Japan. Maybe people notice you in a coffee shop or not. There's a beautiful story, Felipe. There was a person, there's little settlements in Israel called kibbutz. Maybe you've heard about it. It's like little community that lives 300, 400 people together. Maybe they have few structure of families and so. There was a guy there that everybody used to know him by name, doesn't matter now, let's say John. And this was his life. Hey, Johnny, we need to make like evening, like singing. There, somebody has a wedding day. Let's compose something. Let's write lyrics. Let's write music. Da, da, da. And everybody knew him. Hey, John, there's today holiday. Let's play. There's a wedding. There's a birth. Da, 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 da. So everybody knew him in his little kibbutz, and everybody used to turn to him when there was a need, and he would supply. So he was quite satisfied from the fact that everybody knew him by his name and what he does, and he's like a pillar of the community and so on. One day, he did not even know why. He had just a wish to go to Los Angeles. He even did not know why. He bought a ticket, he went to Los Angeles, he hired there some space to live for a while. And the moment that he left his apartment room, wherever, suddenly nobody was calling him in his name. Nobody knew that he exists. Nobody asked him to write any blessings or lyrics or music to every baby birth or to every wedding or to every holiday or to every Shabbat. Nobody chopped on, gave a chap onto his shoulder in the dining room at the kibbutz every Friday, telling him how great he is, how beautiful star he is, how shine he is from every corner. He did not exist. He was walking in Los Angeles there, and nobody turned to him. Nobody called his name. Nobody knew that he is existing. Nobody knew that he has a name. He was nobody. Nobody asked, and nobody gave him a chap, and nobody asked or say how was the last baby shower and its songs, because he did not exist there. So he asked himself, how can it be that at some point everybody is swinging around you like if you're a moon, yes, and ask you, can you do this to me? Can you sing for me? Can you play for me? There's a wedding, da, da, da. And the other day when you take an airplane and you land somewhere in Los Angeles, nobody knows that you exist. And he had, you know what? An identity crisis. Now, who am I when nobody knows that even I'm alive and breathing here? Immediately, the rug of my life was pulled, and it's just breathing, exhaling, inhaling, exhaling like a cat. So, So I'm not the local hero, you know? In a little pond, you can be a hero. Put you in Los Angeles somewhere, you know? Nobody counts you. Go live with that. Go live with that. You tell yourself stories. It has nothing to do with what is happening. I was sitting in this session when I was introduced to this guy's story, and I, yes, he experiences it. And somebody who just moved to another country, to another completely frame, it's just, you're nothing. And this is, and now comes the question. Which one of the two is more close to reality? Which one of the experience is more close to reality? Being nothing or being a star in a swamp? Which one of the experience being nothing? Yes. This is more real. All the rest is a charade. This whack of awakening. He was awakened. I'm nobody. Wow. He was in the beginning sad, but the next moment he was happy because he did not have this load around him that everybody knows him. He has to play like I'm the guy that everybody wants, everybody like, everybody licks his bottom ass for a favor. Yeah? Yes. So in retrospective, he said, he did not know why he bought a ticket and he hired an apartment in Los Angeles. He said among friends, he said, I don't know why even I did it. Why? He could not explain to himself rational, why am I doing it? But he did it. Something or nothing inside did it. Or something was moving through him to show him the truth, and it happened. What happens is when people are telling themselves so many stories about themselves that they become stones, you know, fossils in their stories. They're very comfortable. And we say in Hebrew, pishvasser. Pishvasser is fishvasser, water. It's just pea water. It's warm in the beginning, yes? It's cozy, it's warm, and then it's scratching, yes, and burns, yes? So it's very tempting to sit, yes, in those familiar fishwasser. It's warm. Everybody knows you. Everybody chap on your shoulder. You are a guy. You are a star. You're jumping from birth to birth. You just play in every wedding. You are the dude. And suddenly you're not. Yes? But what a relief. I'm not this character that everybody is telling me that I am, because it's very convenient to everyone that I will appear in every party. What a relief. At the beginning it's sad, but then he comes the realization, I'm not this dude. I'm not wearing this garment that they were dressing upon me because it was convenient for them. What a relief. Any questions? Any sharing? If not, I would like to wish each and every one of you a very good weekend, beautiful weather experience, and see you soon on Saturday. Toda and Shabbat Shalom.